Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and we are having a week with no interviews, which is very strange for me. I've gotten so used to doing them and posting the interviews for you to enjoy that it's a little bit strange for me not to have them, but this just means that I get to talk to you about books, which is always exciting, and I haven't gotten to do it as much lately, so something a little bit different. I hope that you'll enjoy the change of pace, but I hope that you're also looking forward to more interviews next week. We're getting back into the swing of things. We have more giveaways, so make sure that you listen to the podcasts and find out about those giveaways and go on social media and enter those giveaways. I mean, free books. Who doesn't love that? I know I love free books. I love books of all kinds. So, just my little plug to remind you that we do have several contests going on, and I'll pretty much always lately it seems like there's something going on that you can enter in terms of timing, because I've been trying to let those run about 2 weeks each so that you have time to listen to the episodes, see what books you like, go onto social media, and enter into those contests. So we have one that is ending on Saturday. That is the one for Nailgun Messiah by Jim Heskett, which was just a few episodes ago. And then I'll be announcing the winners of that giveaway on Monday. So yeah, free books, giveaways, awesome. I love doing it. I hope that you will participate and maybe win a free book. But today we are going to talk about Madeleine L'Engle's A Wrinkle in Time Quintet. I just saw the movie recently, and I wanted to talk about the books because it's been a while since I've read them, but this isn't going to be so much a movie review, although we are going to do a movie review. I don't know if you know that I also host the movie podcast, at least for a while. I'm co-hosting with Stacy, and one of the movies that we will be reviewing next week is A Wrinkle in Time. That episode will come out next Thursday, so a week from today. Next Wednesday, excuse me. A week from yesterday. So if you want to hear more about the movie, then definitely check out the GSMC movie podcast. I want to talk about the books today. I did not read these books as a child, which seemed odd to me as I got to be an adult, and I was trying to think of why. And when I went to look up the book, because my best friend loves Madeleine L'Engle, she might be Rachel's favorite author ever, and she was surprised that I hadn't read the books, and I had this feeling of, yeah, like I didn't, you know, but I couldn't quite place it. So I went and looked at the books to see why it was that I had this feeling from childhood, and I realized that I had totally judged a book by its cover. I remember seeing it in the library, and it had this sort of weird alien head floating on the cover, and I wasn't so much into sci-fi at that point in my life, even though I watched Star Trek with my dad. But the book cover kind of freaked me out, and I didn't want to read it. I don't even remember if I read the back of the book to find out what the book was about. It was a hardcover. I guess I'd have to read the book flap on in that case, but you know what I mean. I judged a book by its cover. So finally, several years ago, I decided this is silly that I haven't read these iconic books. First of all, they are written in the 60s or 70s. I can't remember which. I think the 70s. I will look that up and let you know for sure. And their main character is a young woman who loves science and who understands science and knows sciencey things, if you will. And that is that's sadly still not all of that. We're getting more and more women interested in the STEM subjects, but that was not the case. Unfortunately, it's not as good as it could be, and it was not the case necessarily when these books were written. So the fact that Meg's parents are scientists, and Meg's mother is a scientist also, and Meg is interested in science, was pretty impressive for the time. This is recommended for ages 10 through 14. And if you're wondering about the age appropriateness of these books, there is some pretty, well, not, I don't want to say heavy science stuff, but there are some, larger words like the word tesseract. There's, some science concepts. So you do want to have maybe slightly older children reading this. So 10 through 14 seems about appropriate. Meg is about 12 when the series begins. She has two twin brothers, Sandy and Dennis, and then a younger brother, Charles Wallace, who is 6 in the first book and quite precocious. There are 5 books in the Wrinkle in Time quintet. That's why it's a quintet, huh? Nobody said there'd be math. And the first one was published in 1962. That's A Wrinkle in Time. And then the other 4 are A Wind in the Door, 1973. So there was quite a large gap between the first and second books of 11 years. Book 3 is A Swiftly Tilting Planet, 1978. Many Waters, 1986, and then An Acceptable Time in 1989. So there is a difference of 27 years between the first book being published in 1962 and the fifth book being published in 1989. So quite a lot. They are all standalone books, but they do connect. They feature some of the same characters. They feature the same family. That last book does feature a next generation. So it's a little bit like the Narnia books in that way, in that they have many of the same characters, but they focus on different characters in different books. Let me give you the story behind A Wrinkle in Time as the first in this series. And it says, "It was a dark and stormy night. Meg Murray, her small brother, Charles Wallace, and her mother had come down to the kitchen for a midnight snack when they were upset by the arrival of a most disturbing stranger. 'Wild nights are my glory,' the unearthly stranger told them. 'I just got caught in a downdraft and blown off course. Let me sit down for a moment, and then I'll be on my way. Speaking of ways, by the way, there is such a thing as a tesseract.'" A tesseract, in case the reader doesn't know, is a wrinkle in time. To tell more would rob the reader of the enjoyment of Miss Lengel's unusual book, A Wrinkle in Time, which is a winner of the Newbery Medal in 1963, and it is the story of the adventures in space and time of Meg, Charles Wallace, and Calvin O'Keefe, athlete, student, and one of the most popular boys in high school. They are in search of Meg's father, a scientist who disappeared while engaged in secret work for the government on the Tesseract problem. A Wrinkle in Time is the winner of the 1963 Newbery Medal. It is the first book in the Time Quintet, which consists of those books that I already listed. So that's the description from Amazon about A Wrinkle in Time. And so you get Meg and her little brother, Charles Wallace. They are in the kitchen when there is this stranger who appears, and she's one of the misses. So there is Mrs. What's-It, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Witch who appear in this book. And Mrs. What's-It is the one who appears and says, "Speaking of ways, by the way, there is such a thing as a tesseract." So Meg's father has been working on this issue of a tesseract, which is a way of sort of folding space to enable you to travel incredible distances across space and time in very, very short amounts of time. And he has disappeared. No one's quite sure where or why or what has happened to him, if he was kidnapped, if he left of his own accord, etc. There is some mystery regarding this. And now this complete stranger just shows up and says, "There is such a thing as a tesseract," which their father had been working on, and nobody quite believed him. And this sets off a series of events in which Charles Wallace, Meg, and their friend Calvin actually go in search of Meg's father. We are going to take our first break of the podcast, but when we come back, we'll be talking more about A Wrinkle in Time. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC podcast, GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today about Madeline L'Engle's Time Quintet. A Wrinkle in Time was just made into a movie by Disney. It is starring Oprah Winfrey, Reese Witherspoon, and Mindy Kaling as the Mrs. What's-It, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Witch. That's Witch, W-H-I-C-H, not Witch as in, you know, green and cackling, etc. And so Meg's father has disappeared. The Murray family's father has disappeared. No one's quite sure what has happened to him. They know he's been working on kind of a secret government project involving tesseracts, which are wrinkles in time. And then the misses show up and they send Meg and Charles Wallace and their friend Calvin on quite the adventure in order to find him. They are trying to track where he tesserated, I think is the verb they use. Using tesseracts to travel. So they end up going to several different planets and with the Mrs. as their guide, trying to track down Mr. Murray. They learn along the way from the Mrs. who are we're not really fully sure what they are, but they do take on human form in order to interact with humans. In this case, Meg and Calvin and Charles Wallace. And they learn about, the children learn about sort of the darkness that is expanding and taking over the universe. And when they finally get to the place where Meg's father is being held, they, encounter the It. And the It is a computer that has the ability to control minds and is kind of part of this dark thing that is taking over that is trying to spread throughout the universe. So there's a lot of themes of light and dark. It is a book, of course, a science fiction book, a little bit of fantasy thrown in there. Themes of light and dark, and the misses are creatures or beings of light, and they are going throughout the universe seeking others who can help them in their fight against the dark. The dark is spreading. The dark is that voice in our head that tells us we aren't good enough. It's the voice in our head that causes us to act in ways that are not appropriate to our neighbors. You know, when we're mean or we say cruel things or we do things that aren't kind or considerate, etc. And so it's more than just this science fiction book about traveling through time and space in order to find Mr. Murray. It really is has these whole images of light and dark. And I think that's my favorite thing about this book. And those themes do get carried through in the rest of the quintet. I did say I'm not going to make this a movie review, but I think that was something that the movie did very well, was bringing out these themes of light and dark, and how the Murray children and Calvin are kind of involved in this battle of you know, light against the dark. Along the way, Meg has to confront some of her own doubts, some of her own fears. You know, any good journey in a science fiction's fantasy book is going to involve the protagonist having to face a lot of their own fears, their own misgivings, their own uncertainties. And Meg is, you know, she's the only girl in a family of boys. She has brilliant parents. She doesn't feel brilliant. She has a lot of self-doubt about a lot of things. And, you know, she really struggles with things. So meeting and hanging out with Calvin kind of helps her to see some things. Charles Wallace is this sort of tiny little brilliant mind that the misses are able to recognize that he has this brilliant mind, and Charles Wallace sees the world in much, much different ways than many people see the world. He recognizes the misses for, if not what they are, what they might be long before anyone else does, and he seems to understand them. He is quite the interesting little character, and he continues to be an interesting character throughout the series. So, Wrinkle in Time, definitely my favorite of the series. And then there are, again, four books that go on that deal with the same family. They don't always feature the same characters, as I said. So let's look a little bit more at the next books so you have an idea of where this story goes from here. The second book is A Wind in the Door, and that is when Charles Wallace falls ill. And again, this has to do a lot with the dark and things that happen with the evil in the universe. And so Meg and Calvin and their teacher, Mr. Jenkins, must travel inside of Charles Wallace to make him well and to save the universe. So that's pretty crazy, right? You know, the stories are getting I don't know if elaborate, but the story is continuing, and the misses don't feature in this one, but there is a dragon, maybe. It's not a dragon, it's a cherubim. So there's all these crazy, not crazy, they seem crazy because, you know, it's a fantasy book, it's a science fiction book, so you get these different kinds of characters. They encounter this cherubim, you know, whereas in the first book they were encountering the misses. And so they have to keep the balance of the universe in check. Again, light and dark and finding that balance, etc. And in this case, they actually have to travel inside Charles Wallace, and there is quite the adventure that happens there. The third book is A Swiftly Tilting Planet, and that features, again, the Murray and O'Keefe families, and this one has a unicorn in it, so that's always interesting. The Murray and O'Keefe families have to enlist the help of that unicorn to save the world from imminent nuclear war. This one, you will recall, was written in, excuse me, I do apologize. This one was written in 1978, so you can see how things have kind of changed, and we've got that threat of nuclear war. So there is definitely social commentary going on in these books. In this one, Charles Wallace is now 15. So 15-year-old Charles Wallace and the unicorn Gaudior undertake a perilous journey through time in a desperate attempt to stop the destruction of the world by the mad dictator Madog Branzillo. They are not alone in their quest. Charles Wallace's sister, Meg, grown and expecting her first child, but still able to enter her brother's thoughts and emotions by tithing, goes with him in spirit. Charles Wallace must face the ultimate test of his faith and his will as he is sent within four people from another time, there to search for a way to avert the tragedy threatening them all. That is the description of A Swiftly Tilting Planet, the third in the Time Quintet. Let's go ahead and take our second break of the podcast. And when I come back, we'll talk more about the series and look a little bit at the fourth and fifth books. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, where I am speaking today about The Time Quintet by Madeline L'Engle. It is a series of books featuring the Murray and O'Keefe families. The first one, A Wrinkle in Time, has just been released by Disney as a major motion picture. And so we talked about the first three. As I mentioned before, A Wrinkle in Time is probably my favorite of the books. They get... they continue to be very interesting. They continue to mix kind of science and theoretical science and what feels like maybe more magical types of things. I mean, obviously you've got a unicorn, so not necessarily science-y, but they feature, as you heard in the description of the last book, kithing. So Charles Wallace and Meg figure out that they can communicate kind of telepathically, and she's able then to go on his quest with him in the third book. It's also partly how she is able to go inside of him in the second book and heal him, along with Calvin and Mr. Jenkins. And I'm trying to remember in the first book what kind of relationship Mr. Jenkins and Meg had. And off the top of my head, I can't remember. It was a little contentious in the movie and didn't really seem to like each other very much. So it'll be interesting to see if they do more movies and if they continue the quintet and how they explain that relationship and how it evolves, etc. So there's always this this battle between good and evil, and the Murrays and O'Keefes are in the midst of that battle. They might even be at the forefront of that battle. They have to save the world from various things. In book three, it is nuclear war, and Charles Wallace is the main character of that. In book four, it's interesting because the twins, Sandy and Dennis, are featured more prominently. We don't see them much. They are in the other books, but they don't go with Meg and Calvin in the first book, or Meg and Charles Wallace in the first book. They don't accompany Meg and Calvin in the second book. So here they do appear in the fourth book. And so Sandy and Dennis, according to the book description, have always been the normal run-of-the-mill ones in the extraordinary Murray family. They garden, make an occasional A in school, and play baseball. Nothing especially interesting has happened to the twins until they accidentally interrupt their father's experiment. Then the two boys are thrown across time and space. They find themselves alone in the desert, where, if they believe in unicorns, they can find unicorns. And whether they believe or not, mammoths and manticores will find them. The twins are rescued by Japheth, a man from the nearby oasis, but before he can bring them to safety, Dennis gets lost. Each boy is quickly embroiled in the conflicts of this time and place, whose population includes winged seraphim, a few stray mythic beasts, perilous and beautiful Nephilim, and small, long-lived humans who consider Sandy and Dennis giants. The boys find they have more to do in the Oasis than simply getting themselves home. They have to reunite an estranged father and son, but it won't be easy, especially when the son is named Noah and he's about to start building a boat in the desert. So, yeah, now we go back in time to biblical times, and we get some interesting takes on the biblical story of Noah, and we get Sandy and Dennis. So these are standalone novels in a quintet. You could read any of them, although I think if you are going to read them, you should read them in order because you really do get the full scale of the stories in that case. The fifth book, the final book in this quintet, actually then we go to a new generation. As it mentioned in book three, Meg is pregnant with her first child when she assists Charles Wallace in his adventure. And book it's Meg and Calvin's child. Sorry to spoil that for you, but you probably were able to figure that out. So this fifth book then features the next generation of their daughter, Calvin and Meg's daughter, Polly. A flash of lightning, quivering ground, and instead of her grandparents' farm, Polly sees mist and jagged mountains, and coming toward her, a group of young men carrying spears. Why has a time gate opened and dropped Polly into a world that existed 3,000 years ago? Will she be able to get back to the present before the time gate closes and leaves her to face a group of people who believe in human sacrifice? So again, we have time travel. Again, we have the O'Keefe farm featuring kind of prominently in this story. Not sure what happened with the O'Keefe farm and the O'Keefes in general that brought them to the midst of these crazy adventures, but it keeps happening, and it keeps happening even to new generations and even to the seemingly mundane twins who nothing extraordinary happens to until book four, when they too go back in time. They go back in time and to a different part of the world. Even when Polly goes back in time, she is still pretty much in the same area, if I'm remembering correctly, but surrounded by, of course, different people, and she gets involved quickly in their conflict. And again, you still have these ideas of light versus dark, evil versus good, etc. How our choices affect us, how our relationships affect us. The books definitely get, to me, they got stranger as they went on. Like I said, the first one is my favorite, but I enjoyed all of them. They are a little strange, but science fiction can be a little strange. That's the joy of science fiction. It helps you to imagine things that you might not otherwise imagine. So that is The Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. Now, she did write other books. She had other series. She was quite a prolific writer. So there's The Wrinkle in Time quintet. There's also a series of books about the O'Keefes. Hold on, there we go. The O'Keefe family, and that is... There's several books in that. I just lost my place where I was looking to see how many books there are, but let me, I have not read those. So, they are characters from Madeline L'Engle's Time Quintet. And then she also has, the Austin Family Chronicles. So the Time Quintet and the Austin Family Chronicles actually sort of cross over in, not sort of, they cross over in this story. And so this is a story that explores the timeless themes of love, chance, and destiny. Sound familiar? So she does have two different series. This one again features Polly O'Keefe and more adventures. But so she has the Austin Family Chronicles and then the Time Quintet, and those overlap in the O'Keefe family series. So if you are a fan of science fiction, if you're a fan of fantasy, if you're a fan of young adult, then you've got three three series here by Madeline L'Engle that you can read and then see how everything connects and ties together, etc. I'm thinking I'm going to have to go back and start reading those other two series because, it's always good to know more of the story, the rest of the story I almost said Paul Simon. No, it's good to know the rest of the story. I am clearly getting a little tired. It's time to wrap up. I've done too much tesseracting, maybe too much jumping back and forth between books and series and traveling through time and space. So Madeline L'Engle, wonderful woman interested in science, had female characters who were interested in science, which is fabulous for the time period. Go Madeline L'Engle. So you go and read A Wrinkle in Time, go see the movie, or if you've already seen the movie, read the book. If you've already read the book, see the movie, whatever it is, do both. Spend some time with A Wrinkle in Time. I'm going to stop now. So you've been listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find the GSMC Podcast Network podcasts. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. We have a blog, www.gsmcbookreview.blogspot.com. All of those links are in the accompanying description and notes for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me as we traveled through time and space with Madeline L'Engle and the O'Keefe and Murray families. Please join me again on Tuesday when I will be interviewing author Claire Marty about her Forever in Laguna series. We'll be talking about the second book in that series, Last Chance in Laguna. Those are romance novels. It is a trilogy, and this is the second in that trilogy. So join me for that interview on Tuesday. In the meantime, have a great weekend and go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.